Welcome back, everybody, to the extra special holiday edition of the Be Better Podcast. Gabby?
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you for being here. Thank you for being my friend and a great advocate of our sport. Thank you for being a great co-host, by the way.
Yeah. It's been kind of fun. It's been a new experience.
I feel like our weekly or bi-weekly catch-ups and chats are very entertaining, and I really enjoy them.
Yeah, I do too. Hopefully everyone else does.
I hope so.
They have to enjoy the banter.
If they don't, they can just keep it themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just hush it. Hush it. No one wants to hear what you have to say.
No negative comments behind the iPhone screen.
No, only positive thumbs up.
Only good vibes.
Yeah, we only want good Yelp reviews.
Yep.
So one of the things, if people haven't noticed when you hit play for this podcast today, is that we have new bumper music. We have a new band sponsor. So thank you very much to Ray Covington and the Ray Covington Band for being supportive of us for so long. But we kind of make a little bit of a shift over to
Spy Mob.
Yeah. And there's a connection there because the bassist who was playing in the for Ray Covington is also the bassist for Spy Mob, who is our connection, which is
Mr. Christian.
Yeah, Christian Twigg. So Christian was one of our original Final K coaches, and Christian had recently left coaching, active coaching, to go back and rediscover music and re-explore that. So we totally support that, and Christian's a super, super guy. And I personally believe Christian's going to come back to the fold. There's always going to be a home for him.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll no pressure.
No.
And it's going to be on his timeline. So a little bit of history about Spy Mob. Spy Mob is, again, another Minneapolis-based band.
Mm-hmm.
And they got together in the late 1990s, and they started gigging locally, and they caught the eye of a guy named Pharrell Williams.
Oh, boy.
You know, so Pharrell, the happy guy.
Happy.
Clap along. Okay, we'll stop there.
We'll break the microphones.
Exactly. We'll break the internet is what's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's going to be, that's going to become its own little GIF.
Yep.
Or GIF. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it.
I said GIF. I think it's GIF.
I know. I thought I read somewhere it was GIF.
Really?
Yeah, but that's like, I think.
Tomato, tomato.
Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, it is. It's like potato spud. Okay, well, I mean, when I see GIF, I think of GIF peanut butter, and that's J-I-F.
J-I-F, yeah, exactly.
But apparently I read an article, I'm telling myself that I read an article. I actually did read an article that where the guy who had created the GIF had said this is how it's supposed to be pronounced. It's supposed to be pronounced GIF, which makes no sense to me, and I think that's just completely idiotic.
And he should have spelled it with a J.
Absolutely. It's a soft J, like Yogg.
Yeah, yogging.
You know? Exactly. But they caught the eye of Pharrell Williams, and Pharrell was with had started up a band called Nerd, or mm-hmm. NERD at the time. And so Spy Mob was brought in as a backing band. They were, you would have seen them on Saturday Night Live in a couple different times. They toured the world. But also Christian was, and Spy Mob were the backing band on the Justin Timberlake Justified album. And for that, and that only, I think is like super cool factor, because if there's one of maybe three people in this world I would love to come back and be reincarnated as,
JT,
absolutely. He's got he's got everything. I mean, JT's
got a family, beautiful wife,
he's funny,
musically talented,
and he's a curly hair guy.
Well, yeah,
he's sort of not naturally curly, but if you think about
got good
back
flow.
In the, yeah, I mean, back in the NSYNC days,
oh yeah,
had the tight blonde curls.
Oh yeah,
talking to a
kid. He was my big crush.
Grew up, had curls.
Oh yeah.
So I get it, and it was all part of it. So he brings the whole thing. He's a total package.
Mm-hmm.
So for that and for that reason only,
that would be a good person to be reincarnated as.
It would be. I would totally take that. I would totally take JT.
Oh yeah.
He's super funny. And have you ever seen him in concert?
No, I haven't. I know. It's on my bucket list.
You gotta go. There would be your thing. Yeah. So I've seen him once in concert, and he was
Where'd
so
you see
good.
Him?
At the Xcel Energy Center. I saw him the night before I left for Sochi for the Olympics.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I mean, not to name drop, because, you know, Burt Reynolds always told me that I should stop dropping names. That was a funny thing. I never talked to Burt Reynolds, but I thought that'd be funny. It was the night before we left, and I was doing some consulting work for the city of St. Paul, and I asked for tickets to the show, and they gave them to me. So I brought Jill and Allie to Justin Timberlake
album.
So yeah, it was amazing. It was a great kickoff to a great couple weeks after that. But thank you to those guys, and we will be hearing more about them, and as they kind of begin their resurgence, and possibly some resurgence shows or some comeback gigs. We'll definitely be sharing that when we come here.
Yeah, and we can even put their information in our notes too,
absolutely,
about where to find them. And
you can, we'll put that definitely, like we always do. That'll be the link to iTunes,
yep.
So you can go check out their music and download them and make them your new jam
for that indoor trainer sessions.
Absolutely, when you're just mashing on the pedals.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
And I would be hesitant. I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Do you have any like traditions, like exercise traditions, like turkey trots, or you know, like throwdowns, or you know, 500 repeats on the 5 minutes in the pool?
Because I know that you could be wild.
Because I know you could do that.
Maybe like 10 years ago or something.
No, come on, Gabby. You could do a 5 minute 500, I'll bet right now.
Right now, if I worked really hard, I could maybe come close, but we'd have to see. That'd be a tough workout.
It would be. But you, like, come on. National champion, silver medalist in the worlds overall, and you're playing. I'm not sure. You're such a sandbagger. All right, so we'll get off of that. But do you and K3PO and the family have a tradition that you guys do?
We're kind of lame. I mean, we've done turkey trots in the past. They're really fun. In fact, it was 3 years ago now. That was the turkey trot I think we'll never forget. It was like -3 degrees. We already had, I don't know how many inches of snow. I finished the race and there are still pictures with my eyelashes frozen. I had a mustache.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd that look on you?
Great. Probably should grow one. Yeah.
No, don't do that. That was a super, super cold, ugly day.
Yeah.
Because
you guys were out there too that
day. We were pushing baby London at the time.
Was
in like, you know, she was in the burly, she was protected and everything. But Jill, like I finished and then I had to go back and wait for her. So I took London because I was getting too cold and I had to actually run.
Yep.
No disrespect to my wife because we run at different paces.
Yep.
And so I picked London up and I pushed her and I finished and then I came back to
get her.
There is
not moving. You gotta keep moving.
Because it was like you're sweaty and then it's like just boom, instant frozen.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and get her and then we finished and then we ran basically. I think we grabbed a handful of Pearson's nut rolls and, you know, from the little finisher area and then went right to the car.
Yep. Heated seats.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so in thinking about this and getting into, you know, something that people actually would want to know about, many people go out with the idea of the turkey trot as a pre-burn of calories before they, you know, gorge themselves later in the day.
And so the more they do, the more they can eat.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm burning, I'm like pre-burning. It's like in college when you pre-drink before you go out, right?
That's pre-game.
Maybe not the same. But the idea there is that is pre-burn calories so that you can kind of get away with more later on.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a real slippery slope if you don't. So how do you approach that? Number one, with yourself. And then two, how do you approach that conversation with athletes that kind of believe they can get away with more of eating worse because they've done more?
For sure. I think I definitely used to have that perspective. We used to have these epic sessions when I swam in like high school and even in college, like before we leave, we do these epic workouts. And then I felt like I could just go home and eat half a pie, eat the whole bird, eat everything. So I've been there. But as I've gotten older, I've realized I don't really feel that great after I do that, nor is that a healthy mindset to have.
Is that an age? Is there an age
maturity,
perspective on that? Like
probably.
Like when you're younger, you have a higher
metabolism, of course.
So you can probably get away with it
a little bit more.
Versus being older, it's not the same.
Yep, that metabolism.
But still, the idea
slows down.
is not to just gorge because you can, because you built a hole.
Exactly, because that's just not a good habit to get in for the holidays, because this is, you know, this is a marathon, not a sprint. We do have Christmas coming up.
Yep.
There's all those holiday cookies. Ugh. There's no need to just throw it all at yourself at Thanksgiving. The pace
office,
yourself.
The office can be a minefield.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a cop, I remember being like just so
cookies,
fat.
Cookies, eggnog.
Fat Chris loved the holidays. Fat Chris loved the holidays. So you go to dispatch, you go to the office, and it was just like everybody would bring everything they had into the office. Like, and it would just, you know, I would make a meal out of Christmas cookies.
Yep.
And that's
oh, for sure.
Not a good thing.
No, not really.
And I wasn't burning them off either. I was stockpiling. I was preparing for winter. I was like a chipmunk with full cheeks.
Glycogen stores are topped.
Oh, they were topped off. And then I had like reserves in the corner.
Yep.
But, you know, it is a good point because, you know, especially as athletes, it's not just about putting anything back in, but it has to be, you know, very specific because there's a difference between replacing, say, 2,000 calories via pumpkin pie or replacing 2,000
calories of protein and vegetables.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, having some good green vegetables, some iron-based vegetables, kale and things like that. Those are obviously better sources of calories that your body's going to use and be able to convert into energy, which it needs because it has burned it off and it does need to replenish those ATP stores.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing whenever I go to these family gatherings, I didn't used to do this, but make sure you eat throughout the day so you don't go to that gathering and then feel like, you know, you're slightly hollow. So you could just eat the whole table of food.
Yeah.
Go where you're not starving, Marvin. And then also, I always recommend to trying to fill your plate up with like the turkey and the vegetables. Make those the biggest chunks of your plate, you know, probably 2/3 of your plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other third can be the fun stuffing, mashed potatoes, whatever it is. And then also you probably won't be as hungry for the pumpkin pie.
Yep, true.
You won't have to eat, you know, 3 or 4 slices to fill yourself up. So if you can fill yourself up with the good things first and then go for your indulgences, because it is Thanksgiving. Don't shortcut yourself. There's plenty of time to cut back on the indulgences.
And water is always a good way to kind of
fill
yourself up and kind of, you know, like repress some of the hunger sensations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that you bring up, it is the holidays, it is a family, and you know, for some people do live on that kind of opposite pendulum where they're very hypervigilant about what they eat.
Yeah.
And it also sometimes can become...
That can be negative as well.
It can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to live within your family, you know.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that moderation is a big key there, trying a little bit of everything. But also, you know, is it important to, if it is something that's right on the cusp of what you're working on, to articulate that to your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let them know this is something I'm working on, and please don't pressure me. I'm trying to, you know, I know some athletes that are, you know, trying to lose weight consistently, and it's important for them to be able to have those conversations. And I know sometimes it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing is you know, portion control is a big piece there. And also I always have said, if you're going to eat bad, eat the best of the bad.
Yep.
So don't eat like, you know, cheesecake from Super America.
No.
You know, get a...
Make sure it's your grandma's homemade cheesecake. Oh, yeah. There you go.
6 pounds of butter. Like, it's real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's real ingredients. And so, you know, don't try and think, okay, well, it's sugar-free or, you know, because all those things, when they take something out...
It's a trap.
Yeah, there is something on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are some of the things that I think are important. And because it is a family function.
Yeah, you got to enjoy it.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, and so now we have food. How do you balance the alcohol in there?
Oh, water in between every beverage.
Good idea.
That's my jam. But, you know, I think it's my one of the few nights a year where I don't worry about it as much. I kind of let my, just like, you know, in moderation, I let myself have, you know, 2, maybe even 3 glasses of wine throughout the evening. But that's okay. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, I'm drinking water in between and...
And again, have the good stuff.
Exactly.
You know, don't drink the $3 chuck. Like, get a nice glass of, like, nice, like, a Chardonnay,
mm-hmm.
a Sangiovese, or I don't know what you're... Or...
I like a cab.
Whoa.
A good, full-bodied nice cab.
Oaky.
Something I can put... You know, dig my teeth into.
Okay, and then scrub them off your teeth afterwards.
Exactly.
Oh, it's good.
All those tannins.
So, you know, this kind of brings us into the idea of, you know, I think Thanksgiving and this time of year is the, I think, a solid transition into what we call the off season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the off season for athletes, and especially multi-sport athletes, I think sometimes has a different connotation to newer athletes than it does to older athletes.
Absolutely.
Newer athletes, it, especially if you're first coming into it, it's hard to, like, even
downshift. It's hard to switch off.
Oh, yeah, because you're, like, you're super
excited. You're so excited. Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to come down, but it's important to understand that there needs to be a shift during this time of year. And it doesn't
Both in training and mindset.
Absolutely. And with training, that comes also with nutritional intake mm-hmm. because, you know, over the summer, if you've been traditionally bringing in more calories or burning more calories, you need to kind of shift that down. And that can be tough.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a difficult transition, period to kind of cut those calories back.
Yep.
But when you talk with athletes, what are some of the things that kind of are front of mind that you're trying to get them to understand with the shift to an off season? What are some of the main points that you think are really important at all different levels that athletes keep front of mind?
Yeah, I think it's a great time for athletes to understand that it's, you know, it's okay to rest. It's not a time to become necessarily a sloth.
Yep.
But it's a time to kind of rest, and it's a great time to use any extra time that you would have spent training to kind of reflect on last season and kind of think about, okay, what went really well? What could I work on? Maybe I had an injury. What are some strength things that I can do in this off season to make that better this yep. season? It's just a great time to reflect and then kind of start planning the new season as well and start getting excited and just kind of feeling like you have a plan going forward. So you have, you know, maybe a start point in yep. in your new training cycle. But I mean, I try to get people, most triathletes are very type A, so they want to start training now.
Yep.
It's really hard to get most people to take that break, but it's really good, and I encourage it because I've been there before where I haven't given myself downtime and I end up injured too early or peak too soon. So yep. it's really important to take that rest, but use it as a time, you know, to reflect and plan and set yourself up for a yep. good season.
How are you using, what type of metrics are you using? I know that like volume and intensity are usually the two big knobs that we have as coaches
mm-hmm.
to control. And, you know, talking about having people come down, one of the things I try and articulate to athletes is the idea of periodization and
yep.
how that really is the basic structure, the bones of what we do as coaches. And if you think about, you look at a micro, mesio, and a macro scale, you know, like a 1 week or one cycle or 1 year, they all kind of have the same pattern, the same mm-hmm. rhythm, where it's an increase and then a reduction.
Yep.
And an increase in intensity and volume and then a reduction. And the reduction is really the most important part because that's where the body starts to accept.
And absorb.
And absorb and rebuild so that it can get even faster and mm-hmm. stronger. This is the same idea that we do like on, like every 3 weeks on, 1 week off. That really kind of plays into it's 3/4 of the year being on and then mm-hmm. a quarter of the year being off. When you have athletes, do you meet with them and have them kind of like fill out some of the things that they want to do so that it's almost like a homework assignment, or is it something that you have observed over the year that you're watching for them? Or how do you kind of come to that discussion point, or how do you address the discussion point about what they want to have as far as focal points for that like lower off season?
Yeah, for sure. I think with most of my clients, I'll do either a meeting if they're here locally
mm-hmm.
or I'll do a call. And I usually like to let them lead the conversation and see, you know, well, what's their opinion? Like, how do they feel everything went? And yep. then I can go in and add, you know, my 2 cents.
Yeah.
But I think it's just important for the athlete to kind of have, you know, lead the conversation in terms of reflection.
Yeah.
I think it should be, you know, it's kind of a personal thing too, because I have, you know, my coaching lens where I see what's going on, but they might have a different perspective.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like maybe for a workout, they view it, yeah, I hit the numbers, but it was so hard and I was tanked for 3 days.
Yep.
So, you know, there's different lenses of things. So it's good for the athlete to kind of have their time to chat.
To be able I've seen different things where people have created like spider graphs
or for sure.
things like that. I think those are all good. And for coaches that are looking to try and get creative, look for some of those things that other coaches have designed and then personalize them. And then keep them on record because I think they're really good reflectional pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you deal with an athlete that has, you know, had a great year and doesn't want to or fears losing it for next year? Like, because you because we can't maintain.
No.
Because you end up plateauing and that only leads to injury. But how do you deal mentally with an athlete that has had a great year and says, you know, I want to keep this going. I don't want to let it go. I fear letting it go.
I think it's more so about kind of rechanneling their energy. Not getting them to switch off, because I don't think that's a bad thing. I think they should keep that energy and enthusiasm, but maybe get it towards, okay, your volume and intensity are going to go down, but let's put some of that extra energy into maybe working on your running form or working on your swimming form, doing something to set you up.
Yeah.
So they can really put their energy there, but that's not going to, you know, overdo it in terms of training. Like, it's not going to necessarily cause injury or they won't plateau, but it's going to hopefully kind of channel their energy into a healthy way.
How about the athlete that has like that, their last race ends up being really subpar and they're not feeling like it's how they want to end the season. And they're reaching for, I'm just going to do one more race. And I'm just going to do one more race. And you know that they're pretty much blown.
Yep.
And you know that next race is not going to be what they want to have. How do you address that? How do you address that conversation? How do you, as a coach, go in and just say, we need to shut things down for the year?
That's a hard conversation to have. And I think it's a sensitive one because obviously the athlete feels, I have more in the tank. I have more to give. But as a coach, you know, no, we're tapped out. We need to shut it down. So I think that's just when almost a similar conversation could happen as the athlete who is just overly excited. I think you could maybe switch their mindset to, let's shut it down for this year, but let's really set ourselves up for next year. Let's have a good year next year.
Yeah.
So let's shut things down. Let's work on technique. Let's reflect and figure out maybe why we didn't have a good
where things went wrong.
Exactly.
That's a great idea. And I think, you know, what you touched on it is that it's the redirect.
Yep.
We need to refocus their energy into something that's positive.
Exactly.
And we'll something set them up. That's constructive and that's going to be rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, the Vikings at the end of the season, pretty much are just, we just call it a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
No, it's too soon.
Too soon.
But it is that idea. So I think it's important that you you talked about technique. We talked about strength.
Yep.
And you know, I think those are two definite great focus areas for athletes to in the off season. In Minnesota here, it gets super cold, and you athletes either embrace the outside and start to you know do fat biking and cross country skiing, or they just basically shut down and have a wattage cottage and ride Zwift for, you know, and run the treadmill for the rest of the winter.
To each his own. Each will work.
Each his own.
Both,
yeah.
Both will work.
Yeah. So do you see one being more beneficial than the other? Do you see there any pitfalls in those two scenarios?
I could, you know, I see both scenarios being somewhat beneficial. I think obviously spending too much time within sport can create, you know, over issues. So then I can see like the cross country skiing being really beneficial for people because they're not necessarily putting on extra pounding on their joints.
Yep.
As well as, you know, the fat biking. It's just something different. You're sitting in a different position than your TT bike. You're using different muscles.
Yeah.
It's beneficial, but there is also, you know, a lot of benefits to doing those critical key, like indoor training sessions on those indoor trainers. So I think there's definitely a middle of the road approach using both. I don't think either one is 100% right. I think you need both in order to make those gains that you're looking for.
And the pitfall could be that you might have an athlete that maybe should be ending their season, and they're like, hey, I'm just going to switch over here, and we're going to do winter triathlon, or we're going to do cross-country skiing. And then they kind of...
They never get that break. They're still competing.
Exactly. And that's something I think as coaches we need to have oversight on.
Yeah.
And be able to communicate that. It's fun. So a story I'll translate this into or transition this into is I'm working with another coach out on the West Coast. And he, very successful, regular season triathlete, just wrapped up doing an Ironman. And now he's out getting ready for the Winter Triathlon Worlds in Italy in February. So,
and he will train in California.
Yep. So you're looking at roller skis, but but there is access to snow. He's about 2 hours from snow. So that's not a problem. The issue becomes having this heavy, heavy focus. And then now we're going to a world championships, which is, you could make the argument that's another A race, and that's 11 weeks away. How do you allow him to recover, change focus, and then race at his peak again in another kind of dimension of triathlon, another style, without blowing him up and burning him out?
Well, and it's also... that's really difficult to peak twice just like that.
Yeah.
So I think, obviously you'd have to prepare the athlete and say you might have to pick one that was weighted more heavily maybe. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to give him time after that Ironman to kind of switch off a little bit, maybe give it a week. Maybe he can go sip Mai Tais on the beach, whatever he's doing out in California.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
So my conversation with him went along kind of like that same lines. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be focusing on technique.
Yeah.
So looking at lower intensity, lower volume, but trying to...
because he still will have all that fitness from his Ironman.
Absolutely.
And that's what so many people forget. You don't just lose that.
Yep.
But as long as you can maintain some sort of activity level, you'll still you'll have that great base.
Yeah. And so. The statistic I always come back to is one that I had read at the Olympic Training Center a number of years back. Was that a trained athlete could become sedentary for 2 weeks and still only lose 5% of their overall fitness.
Yep.
And if you think about it, that's actually, it's almost like a bell curve, right? So, how you lose fitness is not like you don't start losing immediately. It's much like how the body metabolizes alcohol. It has the alcohol comes in and the content rises before it comes down. So if you think about most athletes, just simply giving them a week actually is probably
really beneficial
because they're going to be recovering before they actually start losing. So that 2 weeks isn't really actually 2 weeks. But thinking about technique, I think is going to be a big one. And so we're working on roller skiing technique,
getting him
into some snow as soon as the snow starts to fall up in the mountains. And then also switching from skinny tires and TT bikes to
fat tires
and single track. Working on the technical aspects of it, which, gets him in the focus of it because those will be some of the things that he'll have to overcome. But it is definitely one of those conversations where it's like, oh, crap, it's not ideal at all. Mm-hmm. But you have to be flexible enough to work with the client, but also keep the practicality and the honesty that you have to have as a coach.
Yeah.
Because, we could lie to him and just go, let's just turn right into it and just zoom
right through. Yeah.
And that's not going to work.
No.
Not going to work at all. So just interesting things, coming around and I don't know. Do you like to ride outside in the wintertime?
I get a little bitter with the cold. I take the approach, I like to set up my little wattage cottage and cruise. I'm happy there. I actually am one of the weird people. I enjoy the trainer.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you ride?
I like about it.
What do you ride?
I'll switch between a road bike and a TT bike. I rarely, especially this time of year, I'm not in TT position.
Good.
So there's no need to be
right
now.
No, not really.
Your low back will thank you later.
Exactly. And you can always come back and reacclimate your neck muscles exactly. to that position. What type of programs are you riding? Are you riding Zwift or are you riding like just basic FTP looking at numbers type stuff on the CompuTrainer? How nerdy and how technical is Coach Gabby right now?
Coach Gabby, we're doing, you know, just a lot of aerobic work. So nothing super high heart rate right now. Doing some strength work, so big gear, low RPM work. But right now I'm just on the good old kinetic trainer.
Just
nice
riding.
And basic.
Are you watching shows?
Yep, I do watch shows.
What are you watching right now?
I don't know if I want to admit this out loud.
You can.
I watch all of my Real Housewives show.
Oh my God.
Because Chris won't watch them with me.
Oh.
So I have to watch them somehow. So that is my outlet.
Well, at least you're not watching the Pimple Popper show.
What?
Oh, there's
Pimple Popper?
So my wife is obsessed with the like popping pimples. And there is actually a show called Dr. Pimple Popper. It's like on it's like on the Oxygen Network or something. I don't know. It grosses me out more than I can say. But yeah, I don't like the reality shows. So I just last night finished Stranger Things the second season.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it was. And I don't know why I hesitated to watch it.
Oh, I just love, it's nostalgic.
It is. I was given some.
The kids are great.
Oh, they're great actors. Yeah. And, you know, the story, I think at the end of the second season kind of, it went a little weird. It went away from kind of where the whole track was.
The first season was just perfect. The second season strayed a little bit, but they have been renewed for a third and fourth season.
Well, I saw the teaser trailer for the third season, and it's like Skyview Mall or something. Mm-hmm. It's going to take place at the mall.
I know. So I'm curious to see how they spin it.
Yeah, Steve's now working at the ice cream shop.
Huh.
You know, Preppy Steve with the BMW was going to be working at an ice cream shop.
Weird.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's a good one. That was a good one.
Haunting on Hill House. That's another good one.
Haunting on Hill House.
That's a Netflix original.
Is it
it's scary
spooky. One though?
Yeah,
it's
spooky.
I'm not in the spooky stuff.
Oh, I love it. Oh, okay. It's so good.
I'm not in the spooky things. Are you like? Is it like spooky like the Saw movie?
No, it's
like
not gory. It's not like American Horror Story.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of that.
Nope,
we watched
that
one
as
well.
Scary stuff again.
I really like scary stuff. And K-3PO, he can do the gory stuff, but he can't do the haunting on Hill House. He actually got spooked.
Yeah, see, we're cut from the same cloth, he and I.
Yeah,
I can go sci-fi. I like to, like, TV and movies, I want to be an escape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to be like, this is too close to reality.
Yeah.
That's not my jam.
Yeah.
Or that's, as Jill's saying now, that's not my jelly.
That's not your jelly.
Which I told her, I don't think that's going to catch on because jelly is already used for like as a shortening of jealous.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm so jelly. So she wants it to. So that was for my wife.
Hipster term.
That was for my wife to just say that's not
it.
My jelly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you watch any of the other shows out there like that are on like regular network television or cable television?
We don't watch a lot of like regular TV shows anymore, like on ABC or Channel 11. We've kind of gotten out of that now that there's so much good TV.
There is. So have you seen the show Outlander?
No, my parents watch that.
Okay. Get into that.
Yeah.
Hard to understand, very thick Scottish accent, but it's good. I think they jumped the shark the last season a little bit because now they're in America. I haven't caught up with it. But it was a really good show.
Okay.
Poldark, which is a PBS show.
Oh.
And it's kind of the same idea, same turn, not like time traveling thing, but same, you know, like, you know, that century. Good looking, like rugged, you know, Irish dude. Not my jam either. That Jill's into that. That was a good one. But Walking Dead.
Yep. Now, have you seen Fear the Walking Dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of them.
We watched that.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Yeah. Yep. And they're both, I think both of them, no, the Walking Dead is coming up to their mid-series finale or mid-season finale. Fear is at the
finished
end.
Finished up. Yep.
Yeah. So how did you think the season ended with Fear?
I don't know where they're going to take it next. I don't know do you know how many seasons they've renewed?
I don't know.
Because they can only get so far before they creep up on
Well, because this season
they killed off
Nick and Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Like two major players.
Where do you go?
Yeah. I mean, like who's left? Like, you know, Alicia and Strand are like the only like originals.
Mm-hmm.
I did like how Morgan crossed over. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah. And what's his name?
John Dory.
John Dory's my favorite.
Is he just precious?
He's been my favorite character.
And I love that Jenna Elfman has warmed up and accepted his like affections.
Yeah.
And but her backstory was tragic.
I know.
Like
she was the most tragic character, I think.
Her daughter getting sick and then killing the whole shelter. Ugh. We're totally spoilering all of these things, too, by
spoiler
the way.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but so I loved Fear. So you don't watch Walking Dead?
I don't watch Walking Dead. Chris watches Walking Dead.
Okay. You should kind of catch up with that because that did have a little bit of a lull. But
yeah.
There's definitely some good crossover, and I think there's a good storyline there. It did end the season where they had this last couple episodes was this huge dynamic shift. And I do like where they're going now. It took them a while to get to that point, though.
Another crossover show that I'd recommend. It's a good trainer show. Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Oh, love Breaking Bad.
And now have you seen Better Call Saul?
You know, I've only gotten to the second season of Better Call Saul.
So we've gotten through Better Call Saul. We really enjoy it. I think Breaking Bad has to be one of my favorite. It's dark.
Oh, yeah.
It's depressing, but it has to be the quality of that show. You can't beat it.
It's a great. Yeah,
it's so good.
And the thing about these series is that, you know, on the trainer is that you can just like crush them.
Yep, exactly.
You can just slam a bunch down. You know, I think Breaking Bad, I heard they're making a movie now.
Really?
Yeah, they're making a Breaking Bad movie.
Not surprised.
Yep. And when I was in Arizona just a couple weeks back, I did actually half expect to drive by a Los Pollos Hermanos.
Yep, I know. Ditto.
It's like, where are they? They got to be here, right?
Yeah.
But Breaking Bad was amazing. Better Call Saul was, it took me a little bit to kind of get in the
swing
of it. You
got to warm up to it a little bit. I was the same way. And then once I kind of got into it and started understanding the characters and their arcs, I like it.
Yeah, it worked out well. I mean, and this is these are some of the things that I like athletes today have the benefit of.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that. I mean, like, I remember back even like 10 years ago, we were watching old Iron Man videos.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I guess what? I know who wins this movie.
I know.
And you're popping in VCR tapes.
Yep.
You know, and they're like stacks of them.
And now you can be excited to like.
Yeah,
you've got a new show to watch, so it's getting on the trainer isn't half bad.
And
there's some crazy people who watch these things while they run on the treadmill.
That's I can't do that.
I can't like. Ugh,
it's gotta be
I get
too loud.
Car sick, essentially.
Yeah, you get a little motion sickness, especially if it's like watching the ones that are kind of bouncy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good. Well, so your off season is in full form.
Full form.
Full swing.
Yep.
So where's the next? What do you have? You planned out what your first race is going to be for next season?
Yeah, so we actually just talked about this kind of last week. So I think we're going to do a double. We're going to do South Beach and St. Anthony's.
Nice.
Down in Florida.
You did that last year too, didn't you?
No, I didn't do St. Anthony's.
You did South Beach, though.
I've done South Beach, never done St. Anthony's.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun, exciting new addition.
I know there's a lot of people around here that make St. Anthony's kind of their kickoff.
Yeah, it's a competitive race.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
And you're going to remain amateur for next year?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, we're staying amateur.
Good work, good work.
Yeah.
Can go back to Nationals?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Back at Nationals, and then we're doing double world championships. We're doing Switzerland and then Nice together.
Nice. Awesome.
So.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it'll be a fun year.
It's going to be good. I get to see you in most of those places. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. My off season is woodworking and brewing beer.
That's awesome.
And playing lots of hockey.
Yeah.
By the way, that's been my new thing. My new jelly has been playing a ton of hockey.
Outdoors or indoors?
Indoors.
Well, yeah, because we're not outdoors yet.
Yeah, not. Yeah,
will you do pond hockey once the lakes freeze?
If I'm invited on a team,
yeah.
But I don't have a team. We'll skate on the ice. There's neighborhood rinks around that we mm-hmm. skate on. But yeah, you know, coaching hockey, it's like it takes you. You know, both boys are like full time.
Oh yeah.
So the boy actually we're missing a tournament this weekend because we're gonna be at the lake house.
Oh. And that's a new addition for you.
Mm-hmm. Family Lake House is back into it. That's our Winterfell.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones reference. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh, they're coming back for the final one in April, by the way. That's another one.
Now, have you read the books or just watched the shows?
I don't read. I wrote a book and I didn't even read the book I wrote.
No time for that stuff.
I didn't even read the book that I wrote.
Oh, gosh.
No, I don't. I mean, I haven't read. I read at a period of my life when I needed some comfort in different things.
Yeah.
And I read Steinbeck, I read Hemingway, you know, I read Walt Whitman, and I read a lot of stuff that was like, lonely dudes who need some introspection and I'm just trying to find their way in the world. Mm-hmm. That's what really got me through. But now, no, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to read. I'm lucky if I read. I'm lucky if I read the CNN app, like, you know, once a day. Oh,
and who wants to read the news these days?
It is very redundant. Is the same thing.
Depressing.
It is. It's so.
When is like a puppy going to be a headline?
Oh my goodness! It's yeah. It's
puppy
terrible.
Kisses baby. Like that's what I want to see right now.
it's please. All in, just YouTube clips. It's all yeah. life is going to be. Just is a bunch of YouTube clips.
Exactly.
No, but yeah. So the lake house is a new addition for our family. But my grandfather did build it back after World War II. So it's
sentimental value there.
It is. It's nice. And so we're going to be kind of locking that down. And we're taking that's again. You know, we talk about putting family first, and that's where we're. You know, Cole will not be playing in his tournament this weekend because we're going to be, you know, putting family first.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's important. So. So, you know, I think we've kind of come to, I would say, probably the end of our show here today. Thank you again.
Yeah.
For being on the side. We were supposed today we were supposed to have had one of our guests that we're going to be bringing in. We got some new guests that we're going to be bringing in. But he and his family are being affected currently by the wildfires mm-hmm. in California. So that's a priority for them right now. So as soon as those get calmed down, we will have, we'll tell you exactly
who
that is.
Some fun new guests. Yep.
Yeah. It'll be fun. They'll be calling in, super, you know, witty. I think very, very, flamboyant sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And some good accents. We'll have some good accents.
Yeah.
Not just Tim Walton on here.
And if you think of it, if you guys think of any questions that you want to ask us in upcoming shows, feel free to comment on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
And pop those questions.
Yeah. Or you can just like stalk Coach Gabby and just, you know, send her some,
DM,
some DMs. Is it DM?
DM.
What is DM? Direct message. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just got that now.
Yep.
I was going to say PM, but that didn't sound right. Personal messenger or whatever. Anyways. So, well, you know, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Say thank you to, K3PO for sharing, and not just hogging you full time. again, really anxious to see him again. And we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Happy Turkey Day, y'all.
All right, everybody. Eat responsibly and do some exercise.
Yep.
Take care. You could not imagine